Welcome to the Darlington Podcast, a production of Darlington School in Rome, Georgia. Join us as we take a look inside and outside our classrooms and connect with students, teachers, alumni, and more.
Hello, I'm Brent Bell, head of school at Darlington, and welcome to Conversations by the Lakeside. Today, I'm excited to talk with Kim Tunnell, Director of Fine Arts here at Darlington. Kim, thanks for being with us today.
Absolutely.
Having a good day so far?
I am. It's been a busy day, but good day.
What does a busy day look like for the Director of Fine Arts here at Darlington?
Well, today was a late start day. We had some advisory meetings that we talked about students and made sure they have what they need. I have had a meeting, a pre-K 8 division meeting or leadership team meeting. I've been in another Students of Concern meeting. So I've been a representative, I guess, more or less. It's been the hat I've been wearing a lot today. And then this afternoon, like you, I teach the leadership class for the seventh graders. So I think we had some success with that. And it was, we're talking about conflict resolution, which is always fun.
Yes. And now you get to record a podcast.
Yes, I do.
That's excellent. Excellent. And yesterday you were in Athens,
yes.
Georgia. Tell us a little bit about that.
So UGA hosts their Hodgson School of Music, hosts a UGA Choral Day. And high schools across mostly North Georgia and Atlanta areas come. And students prepare. They prepare a couple of pieces away from the event, and they come together and are able to sing in a large group. In a treble group with sopranos, you know, the ladies, and then the gentlemen, tenors and basses, do a choir as well. So they do some separate pieces along with one they do all together. And then we also get to hear individual students kind of in a recital setting. So students are getting a feel for what music is like at the college level. And we hear ensembles, some of their ensembles. So it's really all about making music, choral music, and what is a possibility at UGA. And really representative of all colleges usually. So the kids, we took about 23 students and had the best time. They really committed to the process and enjoyed it, and it was a good day.
Great. Well, good. Well, you've been at Darlington for a number of years, and we'll get to that in a little bit, but maybe you could share with our listeners sort of a little bit of your background, and particularly as it relates to why teaching and why arts education as you sort of embarked on your career.
So I came to Rome and went to Shorter College. I was going to be a communications major. I did music all of my life. My dad was a minister of music, and my mom an organist, so I really didn't have opportunities to do anything else. And in college, I thought I might do something different, but a friend of mine found out I played the piano, so I got recruited very quickly to be an accompanist. And by the second half of my freshman year, all of a sudden it was like, oh, why do anything else? And so I was behind a little bit. I had to make up some theory one summer, and I had to do some other things, and ended up being a piano major. So I majored in piano pedagogy. I would go back and forth between music ed and piano pedagogy. And I was about to graduate with a piano pedagogy degree, and my parents informed me that I really needed to be able to support myself. And so music ed, I was able to add a degree and stay with my scholarship. And it was a great experience and probably the best thing I ever did. One of the best, you know, opportunities I had in my career, I would say. And music ed, I, you know, did student teaching and taught middle school to begin with. And enjoyed that very much. I think I didn't realize I would like middle school students that much. But I taught here in Floyd County for about 7 years, and then had the opportunity once Mark and I started a family, I had the opportunity to work part-time, and that really allowed me eventually to come to Darlington. And so, you know, I was always one that saw the beauty or the opportunity in what the arts do for kids. And I think it's carried me all the way through, you know, being able to make music and create things from nothing sometimes. I think that's really what I've been drawn to all of my life, the creative aspect of it. So, you know, in short, that's kind of how I got started in music.
Awesome. So a couple follow-up questions. Where were you living when you came to Shorter?
So I was living, I graduated from Forsyth County High School, Cumming, Georgia area, which, you know, back in the day, it was only one high school. So it's definitely grown since then. So before that, I lived in North Carolina. We moved from there when I was in the seventh grade. So I've been.
You sort of grew up in the church.
I did.
Just depended on where the church was.
Correct.
I gotcha. Okay. Mm-hmm. And to graduate with a degree in piano pedagogy, do you have to be able to say piano pedagogy five times fast?
Correct. You do. It's part of the Definitely. Not a lot of people know you can major in piano pedagogy.
What did they say that these? I was today years old when I learned
there
that.
You go.
So there you go. And who is Mark? For those of us who are not as familiar with.
So Mark Tennell is my husband. It's actually his birthday today, but he is an assistant of admissions for day students here at Darlington. He works with the admissions for 6th through 12th grade.
And you said you came to Darlington in a part-time role, and when was that?
2001, 2002 was my first school year.
Sort of trace your path from that part-time role to becoming director of fine arts here.
So I had the opportunity, I would come in the middle of the day and I would teach a middle school chorus. I would teach the boys for half of the lunch period and the girls for the second half of the lunch period. And then I would bring them together for an opportunity to sing together. It helped a whole lot for the distractions back then to keep the girls and the boys separately. But lots of fun. So I taught middle school chorus and I also taught a general music class. So in teaching those two things, I would just come for the middle of the day and then I would, I wasn't really involved in the extra part of the school. I was just really officially part-time. So from there, I think at the time I came, I had two children, Jack and Hillary. And then we were expecting Sarah, my second year here. And with that, I was able to add a drama class. So I taught drama, general music, and chorus, so three classes. And so I was here for longer periods of the day and enjoyed that very much. Had the opportunity to work with Dan Bishop. He was the chair of the department at the time, and we did a lot of collaborating. I would play piano for those concert choir concerts and other choir concerts, and had a lot of opportunities to collaborate. I think that was probably the thing I loved most about being here from the get-go, opportunities to work with other colleagues and then ultimately to support students. So from there, I had the opportunity, I guess a couple of years after that, there was a change at the lower school, so I had an opportunity to teach the elementary levels and had did that for a while. And then when Dan Bishop left, Tom Whitworth asked me to apply for sort of an interim director of fine arts. And I thought, well, I'll give it a try. And through a process, they gave me the opportunity to do it for a year. And at the same time, I was still going back and forth from the lower school. I had a few responsibilities over there and over here, so I was going back and forth a lot. But I did okay, and they asked me to take it on the next year. And so from there, I've been doing this job, kind of working pre-K through 12th grade with the performing, the visual, and the communication arts. You know, yearbook has grown, I think, through the course of that and some of the opportunities that we have with journalism. But yeah, I think it started with me just being in the music world, but some of the things and the opportunities I had, I think, to work with colleagues kind of just led to this other opportunity, and it's been a great experience.
Great. Well, you do a great job, so we sure appreciate all your efforts there. Absolutely. So you started talking a little bit about your philosophy and what you your hopes are for our students, and would love for you to expand on that a little bit and you know, what you're hoping that, you know, being involved in the arts means for a Darlington student in present time, and then sort of, you know, what it can mean for them as a lifelong learner and a maybe a lifelong performer some way or another.
Absolutely. Well, I think I'm always amazed to see what students are capable of, and I think we don't always know what that is. So the opportunity, I think, in, you know, from pre-K kindergarten, you know, I think about how we do class plays and how we allow them to play instruments at a very young level. The experimentation that we want students to learn at that level is a foundation for any and all of the things that they're going to continue to do. And if they're supported with being a creative person and being able to not really be intimidated by failing or feeling like there is a limit, you know, so to speak, to what they can do, I think it's just amazing what you can do when you see that happen. It doesn't always happen, as you know, but I think that the thing we have to look out for is the individual student. You know, we talk a lot about that individual experience. And no, it's very difficult to meet all of the needs of everyone in the room, but if you have that engagement and that connection with a student and you see that they have a gift or a talent or something that they're drawn to, it can be the most amazing thing to watch. You know, I think about students that we've had who've come through who might have been incredible singers or incredible actors or incredible artists. And those students, because of a teacher taking the time to really support them in a variety of ways, giving them some extra opportunities, you know, giving them some extra attention to learn how to do a particular skill and get better at it through voice lessons, you know, or piano lessons or any of those types of things. I think it's trying to find that in the students so that they can find it in themselves, so that then that success can be something that really is able to be built upon or on through their journey.
When you think about an effective teacher in the arts, what are the qualities and skills that person needs to have? And how do you find that?
Well, I think my number one thing, I think whenever I go through the interview process with a new teacher and someone who comes on campus, what I'm looking for ultimately is someone who teaches students, you know, not necessarily they're teaching their discipline. And what I mean by that is that if I'm a good teacher or a director or whatever, then I'm really going to be able to teach anything to them because of the process by which I teach that person. You know, if it comes from making a connection with them, you know, really having the opportunity to find either a subject matter or, you know, maybe it's type of music or it's a type of art, and I make that connection with the kids and I'm able to help them to see from that one thing, I can connect it to something else, and then that interest grows. I think it works in English. I think it works in math. I think it works in any subject, but it's got to come from, what are you interested in? How can we make what you're interested in be a bigger thing? You know, how can that grow into something really special for you? It's not about me. It's about you. What is it that can really help you to be a better artist, be a better person, be a better instrumentalist? And I think so that when we're hiring people in our department and even actually throughout the school, if I'm involved in it, that's one of the things I want to make sure that person understands that I want to have somebody that I work with that is really looking out for teaching students, not necessarily my discipline.
Great. Thank you. We'll have a few listeners who don't have a full understanding of how the curricular aspect of the arts works here. Why don't you maybe share briefly, you know, a child comes in pre-K and as a DAR baby, as we'd say, and goes all the way through the 12th grade. What is the curricular aspect of the arts look like for that student?
Well, I think you have a foundation. You want to provide for students. We talk a lot about there are four categories that kind of drive our curriculum in the arts, and it's across all of the disciplines. We want to teach students to create. We want to teach students to perform or present. We want them to connect, and we want them to respond. And those four areas are tied to certain skills. Like, for instance, just being able to read and notate music would be part of the presentation or the performance aspect of we want them to be able to be independent musicians in music. So that builds, of course, by the time you take AP Music Theory, if you're one of those students that want to go that route, then you, of course, are learning Circle of Fifths, and you're learning all of these extra things that then are an extension of learning that foundation of reading music. So, you know, I think the curriculum for each grade level, whether it's the pre-K2 world, 3, 5, 6, 8, that is our goal. And we want students who are coming in at either of those opportunities, whatever the entrance is for them, we want them to be able to sink in and develop those skills so that they can progress as well. So that is, you know, a curriculum that just drives the skills that we want our students to be able to be. And, you know, independent is really what we're looking for. You know, we want them to be able to learn to play an instrument at the same time they're analyzing the music they're looking at and playing. You know, for art, it's the same type of thing. You want them to understand the elements of art and then be able to apply them. And so I think it's been really interesting for our teachers to walk through this process with Toddle, because we've also had to look at it through another perspective of some different questions that we're asking, you know, our teachers to kind of manage and put out there, really. So I think our curriculum is strong. I think it's a foundation of the national art standards as well as some of the state standards that are being used across the state.
So if you're a student in those different cohorts in pre-K through second grade, what in the arts are you exposed to?
So you're exposed to visual art. You have a visual art class. Those students are being seen, or they come to the art teacher 3 out of 8 days. And then 3, 5, same situation, where they're coming in a series of, and it, you know, progresses in terms of time.
Of course.
Pre-K, yeah. About 30 minutes, and then it progresses. And then music is the same. So music has a class and visual arts has a class. You know, communication arts is that other element of our programming, but that is something that is integrated. And then we kind of pull that out later on when we get to the middle school level. Mm-hmm.
Middle school, a little more choice.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that sort of becomes part of the students' opportunities to think about what it is that they enjoy.
Exactly.
And want to pursue a little bit further.
Right.
And then and same
progresses.
In the upper school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
From 8th to 9th grade.
Excellent. And we think about the extracurricular sort of life of the arts. You know, people think of plays and concerts, the yearbook, you know, what we would call in some ways evidence of learning, because the extracurricular and the co-curricular are certainly part of the experience. But how about a few of your sort of memorable moments or memories of some of the extracurricular opportunities that students have had, where maybe they've taken something beyond where you thought they could, or pivoted and adapted and overcame setbacks and stuff that sort of stick with you over your time here?
Well, I you know, there are a lot of treasures of a lot of, when I think about this, I think a lot about a lot of faces, you know, over the course of students that have been in and out of programs.
Everybody and likes a name drop.
I'm telling you.
You know, so.
I know. I will say, you know, as we've taken the musical downtown for so many years, and when I first came to Darlington, I was in the role of more of an accompanist before I did this position. And, you know, there are a few classes that I was just always amazed for what they were able to do. And I would say Allie Harton, Banks Mattingly, I think that was a special situation at the same time. Laura Owens, Austin Spooner. I mean, there's just a lot of students that came through that, and Austin was one of those that we didn't know what we were going to get in terms of that year. He showed up in as a junior and was so talented, and we just had a lot of fun with those students who really just were wanting to do some extra things. I think about Hannah Montgomery. I think about when she came through, she, you know, wanted to play the guitar and do some extra musical things. And then she ended up, we used it for Bye Bye Birdie. And I was not actually involved in that show, but those were students that I had taught in middle school at the time. And I was teaching at the lower school, and actually Jack was in it. You know, it was just that random stuff, but just some really talented individuals that had a spark. It's something special when you have those students who love what they do and they just want to share it. And at the end of the day, that's what a lot of those students wanted to do. They couldn't get enough. You know, Banks and Allie ended up, we did a one act version of the last 5 years and took it to competition, which was really interesting. And that music was hard, and we had a lot of fun with it. That same year was Beauty and the Beast, and you know, it was just you have a lot of, and that's not the only one. I mean, I could go on for days. I keep a list of all the shows that helped me remember who the students were.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when they come back for alumni weekend, I have the best time going, oh, wait, you know, I remember this. And I don't know, this has been an incredible place to see students do some incredible things. And then go on, whether or not they go into the arts or not, you know that some of the skills that they did while they were here played a part in what they ended up doing later on. I mean, you know, it's a skill set, and it's something special.
Excellent, excellent. Well, we've been talking about students. Last year, the musical was Newsies. Mm-hmm. It was an all-school musical, and it included several members of the faculty. So what the question people really want to know about Newsies, and we need you to be honest about this, was how difficult was it working with those faculty members?
Well, Shelley,
I've heard that there were some divas, prima donnas amongst the faculty cast members. Can you verify or dispel that rumor?
I would say that all of them enjoyed their stage time. I think that's what I would say. And it was fun to watch that. And it was really, I thought that was a very, very special thing. Yes, they all got along really well. I was amazed that Shelley was able to pull together all the schedules and to make something like that work with all of the different schedules that we have just alone here on campus was amazing. But the commitment that they had, and then for them to see how hard students work in a situation like this, because it was a professional production. You know, I think Shelley does a really good job with that, to have an opportunity to use a professional stage, all of the things. So, we had a lot of fun with them. And I think they had a lot of fun.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad that we cleared the air on that. You know, it was there was a little uncertainty there. You know, there was certainly some typecasting
definitely
amongst the faculty, but that allowed them to shine. That's what you're saying.
Yes, no doubt.
Okay, excellent, excellent. One of the great stories from that play, and maybe you can share a little bit from your perspective, and maybe you don't have a whole lot of perspective, which makes the story even more interesting, is what happened on the first night with the sound.
Oh.
Was that the first night?
No, it was
second
actually
night.
The
I third
think
night?
It was Sunday.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes, so Sunday. So we had a situation where the sound, the accompaniment went out during that particular final show. And what was amazing is that the kids didn't miss a beat. It went out and it came back, and it actually happened more than once. We have figured out what that was, and it will not happen again. technology is a great thing, and we also know it's evil. So at the same time, what was fantastic was that the students were able to know exactly what was going to happen. Reese Bell, who is a senior this year and who has become quite the music technology and sound and lights as well. She just does all of it with the equipment that we have here on campus. She's just willing to manage just about anything. However, in that moment, she was able to know what to do, and she didn't miss a beat. You know, it's in that moment of, oh no, what just happened? She didn't panic, and she was able to. She knew where the you follow kind of the way that the music is playing, and she knew exactly where it was. She was able to forward it to where it would pick up, and the kids just kind of knew where it was. And that comes from practice. That comes from the drills. Honestly, you call them drills if you really wanted to. I know you do that in sports, but it's the same thing. You have to rehearse and rehearse and rehearse, and you prepare for a mistake. You prepare for the unexpected. And that was probably the most incredible piece. Yes, I ran up there, and I was frustrated, all of the things, and I wanted to fix it. But the beauty of it is that they took something that who knew when and where it was going to happen. It happened, and we didn't miss a beat.
Yeah, it was a great to hear the different perspectives of how it all went down, and then of all the people who really didn't even realize anything out of the ordinary had happened. It's certainly something that significant.
Out of the ordinary.
Yeah. It was a great experience, I think, and a great experience for those students. You talk about the things they will take with them.
Mm-hmm.
That certainly becomes one of those experiences that they'll be able to look back on and use in all kinds of different things that life throws at them. So we always like to change gears here as we sort of start to conclude our conversation and leave our audience members with some takeaways. So we'll ask a couple questions, and you kind of give us your recommendations and thoughts here. So for folks that don't live in Rome, or maybe you know, haven't explored Rome, what are some of your favorite places, best places to go in Rome, Georgia?
Well, I like a lot of good food. So I would say Harvest Moon is just always one of my go-tos. So I think it is for a lot of people. So I would say that for sure. I think just walking the trails around Rome, I have really enjoyed the extensions that have connected all of the rivers and the parks and so forth. I just, that is an amazing thing. And to see the city, walking the walking bridge and just walking around Rome, I think it's amazing what you're able to see. I think I would say that for sure. You know, I think Darlington's campus is something, a place to visit. I think people are always intrigued when they come on campus. What is this? You have a lake, all of these beautiful aspects of our campus as well. So,
do you have a favorite place on campus?
Well, you know, I love all the places that we get to create in, of course, whether it be the Black Box or the Art Room, or, you know, I just love all of those places. The chapel is a really special place, I think, for many reasons. And, I don't know, the Cove I've grown to like, and the library, the new library, you know, taking that space from the it being a student space to now a library. I enjoy Thursday night duty in that space so much, because it's just it's kind of a bright space.
Excellent. Would you recommend that people go to the 11 o'clock service at First Baptist Church to listen to the organ?
Of course. Yes. You can hear my mom play.
It is a highlight. There's no question.
Yes.
So keep that in mind if you're in
definitely
town and searching for for a place to go. The organist at First Baptist is quite extraordinary.
Quite impressive.
Okay, so how about a favorite book or a book you would recommend to our listeners?
I need more time to read, and that's something that I
Who
don't
wrote
always
that book?
Do. I know, really. I'm a seasonal reader, probably, in terms of what I like fun reads in the summer. I did read The Letvin Theory this summer.
Yeah.
And I will say that I've been impressed with the concept of that. And I would recommend it. I just really would.
Yeah, it's a good one. Mel Robbins, right? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Letvin Theory.
And I've listened to some others with some traveling I did this summer. I listened to some others of hers. I think Brené Brown always offers some really good insight to, you know, understanding and doing mm-hmm. our best.
Excellent. Do you remember a particular book that you had to read in school?
The Scarlet Letter.
The Scarlet Letter. Oh, that's a good one. How about a favorite TV show or movie that you've watched lately that you would say people should watch this?
So I like The Pit. I've watched it recently, and I kind of like that show. I haven't seen a good movie lately, or that
you know what's a great movie that I didn't watch recently, but someone talked about recently was Amadeus.
Oh, I need to go back and watch that again. It's been a long time.
That's a great movie. How about three people you'd like to have dinner with?
So
Living or dead.
I would love to have dinner with my piano teacher, who is not with us anymore, but I have thought about her so many times because I had some performance anxiety when I was in college, and she helped me to really work through it. And I would love to just sit and talk with her. Her name was Marianne Knight, and she was my piano teacher at Shorter. She's a piano teacher for many, many wonderful people and talented people, and I was just very lucky to have her my senior year in college. And then my dad. I would love to sit and talk to my dad, you know, and he loved food. And I would just really like to do that. And then my family. You know, now with my, I'm an empty nester, so to speak. And so, therefore, it's to have everybody in one place is a treat. So I would go for that as well.
Well, certainly the Tennell children maximize their Darlington experiences as well. So we're proud of all three of your kids and you and Mark as well. And you've given a lot to the school, and your family's given a lot to the school, and we appreciate that very much. What about, in conclusion, something we haven't talked about that you'd love for our audience to know, perhaps as it relates to music, relates to the arts, or, you know, something completely different that we haven't talked about yet?
I would just say that looking back kind of on my journey here, I had no idea, you know, exactly why I was drawn to this place. But I don't know. It's just, it's been an incredible ride. I've enjoyed the people I've worked with. I've enjoyed being on this campus. You know, I think about the people that have gone away and have come back. You know, it's just, it's a special community. And I think that's part of Rome too, you know, having been and gone to college here and all those types of things. So I don't know that there's any one thing that's that I would say other than I feel like a lucky, lucky person. I feel like I have been, I'm just very fortunate, and I'm very thankful and grateful for that.
Excellent. Well, thank you for that. I would just say in closing, if I can make a recommendation to our listeners, and particularly our listeners who either are not directly engaged in the day-to-day life of the school, maybe as parents or things like that, and you like or have any sense of interest in good theater, you should come to the shows at Darlington. And the musical in particular, only because seating is not as limited.
Right. We can get you
in. We would love to see folks there or here on campus for concerts and things like that. I think you'll enjoy the experience and thinking about the process that that our students are engaged in. So, Kim, it's been great to have you on the podcast. Thanks for being with us today, and we really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
We're glad that you tuned in to this episode of Conversations by the Lakeside on the Darlington Podcast. Tune in wherever you like to listen to podcasts, and please subscribe if you haven't already. You can check out today's show notes at www.darlingtonschool.org/podcast.
The Darlington Podcast, a production of Darlington School in Rome, Georgia, is a collaboration between the communication and advancement teams, and the intro music is alumni produced. See show notes and hear more episodes at www.darlingtonschool.org/podcast.